On this, our feast day, I'd like to talk about the parable, first of all, for all of us as individuals, but then perhaps apply some of its lessons also to us as a parish, and kind of give a little mini report on, I think, how we're doing, at least from my limited vantage point. So, a parable like this. You know, I told you last week that too often we think of parables as just pithy little stories that make a point very clearly so that we can understand it. But it's usually actually just the opposite, that the parables make us kind of scratch our heads and say, really? What are you talking about? They're like riddles. And we need to enter into the irony and the challenge and the paradox of the parables. And there's a lot of it in this parable today. You got a dishonest steward who's commended, and you've got all kinds of strange little phrases and things that make us wonder. So let's just take a look at a few of these things. I'd like to preach on this particular topic related to the parable, that on taking a short-term hit for a long-term gain. Taking a short-term hit for a long-term gain. Now, you know the basic outline of the story, but let's review. There's a steward, someone who's managing properties for his boss, and he's dishonest. He's skimming. He's taking more than he should. Now, they were entitled to collect, you know, the monies for their boss, but they take a certain percentage. But he's, taking more than he should. And his boss discovers and says, "You're going to be fired. So render an account to me, and tell me why I shouldn't fire you." And so he immediately says, I am guilty. At least he knows that, y'all. Amen? But he then again, as you know, now what he's doing is, he's not actually stealing more from his boss here. He's simply reducing his cut to zero. He's taking a short-term hit, thinking I'll get a long-term gain. So I will only collect what's really owed to the boss and show great favor to the creditors. And when I get released, I'll say, hey, that's the guy I want on my team. And I'll have a place when I get kicked out of here, I'll have some friends who say, hey, I want that guy for me. See? So he's taking a short-term hit for a long-term gain. Are you following me? Now, the Lord says basically to us, are you that smart? Are you that smart when it comes to the kingdom? Are you that smart? You know, it's a sad answer to the question that many of us are not. Many of us are not that smart. Let's take a look at one of the first ironies, or the, if you will, thing about this parable. It says that the dishonest steward was commended by his master for what he did, and commended him for being, quote, prudent. Now, here you need to be a little careful. This is the first word that jumps out at us, because we think of prudence as a virtue, and it is. It's one of the great virtues, one of the four cardinal virtues. And because you're all so well-educated in the faith, you know all four of them, right? Four cardinal virtues. Prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Amen? All right. Got that down? Take some notes. Prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Prudence is a great virtue. It's a virtue that helps direct my life to its proper end. Prudence isn't just caution. Sometimes prudence says, this is the battle I'm going to pick and I'm getting in it. Prudence says, what's the best way to the kingdom of God based on the circumstances I'm going through? That's the virtue of prudence for a believer. St. Thomas Aquinas, though, in the Summa says that there's another type of prudence in the world that we would generally refer to as being crafty or sly. That's worldly prudence, see? And that's the way the term's being used here in the scripture today. The dishonest steward is commended by his master for being sly, devious, but smartly devious. And again, it still puzzles us, it shocks us. Why would Jesus tell us this parable like this? Why is this steward commended? What he does is not commended, but his smart, crafty, prudent way of going about it is what's being commended. And Jesus laments, For the children of this world are much more smart and clever in dealing with this world than are the children of light in dealing with the kingdom. Come on, y'all. Say it ain't so. It's so. Again, this man reduces his profit to zero temporarily. He takes a short-term hit to get a long-term gain. And again, the question comes back, are you and I that smart? Well, what does it mean for us to take a short-term hit? Well, again, if you really look at the gospel, one of the things that the Lord is saying is, look, the world is not your oyster. I've got you a much better feast up in heaven. And I don't want you to indulge this world. I want you to step back from it, and I want you to be take what you need out of it, but don't indulge every desire, every sinful drive, every moment you just want some pleasure, that it may be sinful or excessive. Don't do that. Take a short-term hit for a long-term gain. Come on, y'all. Much more is waiting for us than this world. But too many people say, no, the world is my oyster. I want my pleasure now, and I want it here, and I want it now, and I want it in abundance. And the Lord warns about that. That's not prudent. That's not wise, because this world gets you in its grips, and you stop praying, and you start to stray, and you start to wander. See, again, a short-term hit. You see, but what happens is then we get indulging in the world, and we start to get lazy about prayer and sloppy about sin, and we start to get sloppy about the movies we're watching or what we're looking at on the internet. We start to get sloppy about the way we look at the other sex, sloppy and careless about how we care for the poor or whether or not we forgive. We get sloppy. Now, why don't you just cut it out, says the Lord, and take a short-term hit for a long-term gain. Learn discipline. Learn moderation. Learn chastity and purity. Learn zeal for prayer. Learn, but that's hard, Pastor, and there's a lot of stuff that's kind of hard. Yeah, sometimes it is. Are you willing to take a short-term hit for a long-term gain? Now, I know how we're supposed to answer that question, but I'm saying, really, honestly, how do you answer the question? Too often, we gratify the moment, and we forget eternity. We maximize the minimum, and we minimize the maximum. We're all into little worldly things, and they are little, my brothers and sisters. There's a big game on this afternoon. We'll get you home for it. But it's a little thing. It's a little thing. Wait till you see football in heaven. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Football in heaven. Talk about a Hail Mary pass, all right? Fantasy football on steroids. All right. But listen, brothers and sisters, we got to learn the strategy, not for wickedness, but for goodness, to learn how to take a short-term hit for a long-term gain. The Lord laments how crafty and smart the worldly are in these kinds of things, but how lazy the children of God are. And frankly, all of us are a little bit of both. Come on. How many of you spent years in college? Years! Money, sweat, writing papers, all that stuff. And for what? The American dream. The house, the car. You know, 2.5 kids. You know, all that stuff's passing away. It's like sand through. But we work very hard for the granite countertops. Oh, no, you got to get quartz now. Get rid of your granite countertops. Quartz is in. You got to get the tray ceilings. You got to get the great room. And now I've made it. Now I've made it. It's all going away. That's just little stuff. But you see what happens. Why aren't we that way with the kingdom? Do I have to pray? How long? Go to church? Gosh, that's hard. I'd rather sleep in. See? So we're not willing too often to take the short-term hit for the long-term gain. And the Lord says, smarten up now. Get smarter than that. This world gets you in its clutches if you serve it. So the parable begins with this very shocking, if you will, commending of the prudence of the steward. It shocks us. It should. And the Lord said, why aren't you that smart? Why aren't you that smart? So answer the question for him. Spend the next 30 years answering that question. See? Now, it goes on. There's another thing that sort of jumps out in the parable. The Lord says, look, let me give you an example of taking a short-term hit for a long-term gain. And his example is caring for the poor. He says, I tell you what, for an example, make use of your unrighteous money, your dishonest money, so that you can gain eternal, they'll welcome you into eternal dwellings. Now again, that jumps out at us. What do you mean my dishonest wealth? I got it all legit. I earned it. It's mine. I didn't steal it. So what is the Lord getting at with dishonest wealth, and why does he call it that? Well, I think there are a number of theories, but I will tell you that mine, and I think mine is right, because it fits the context. Dishonest wealth. Let me give you an example. I don't know how you ladies shop, but when I need to go buy a shirt, I go into the store, some store, and I find a shirt, maybe $20, $25. And I say, how can I buy a shirt this nice for such a cheap price? How's that possible? See? And the answer is, very often, because some poor kid in Indonesia's getting $1 a day working in a sweatshop. I mean, this world economy that we have is filled with inequities. And a lot of us can't do a thing about that. We're not going to be able to make world policy. Even if we could, we'd probably make a bigger mess out of it. But there are inequities in this world. And don't you ever forget that. We live very well in this country. And many people in many parts of the world live very well, but there are many who do not live well at all. And part of the reason we live so well is they're working hard for us. And I will tell you, what the Lord is getting at here when he calls it dishonest wealth is, you may not be able to change global economic systems, but don't you ever forget the poor. Don't you forget people who have served and sweated for the things, those products you enjoy. Don't forget the poor. So take some of your dishonest wealth. Again, dishonest because we live in a world filled with such inequity, where some live so well and others live not well at all. That's what he calls dishonest wealth, that even the money you've rightly earned and so on, how come you and I can get $15, $20, $30 an hour and some kid in Indonesia gets $1 an hour? What's that all about, see? Well, you know, Father, it's about local economy. Don't explain it. It's just, we know. And so, the Lord says, remember the poor and be smart about how you use your money. Give some of that money back to the poor. And says, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Who are they? The poor. The poor. The Lord is saying, be smart, be crafty, take a short-term hit. Give some of your money away. It means you might not afford the Bethany Beach House. That's all right. That's just a short-term hit. Wait till you see the beach house I got waiting for you in heaven. Give some of your money away. Now, the poor aren't, you don't have to go down to Union Station necessarily and look for the poor. Maybe some of the poor are right in your own family. Your own children are poor. They don't have jobs yet. So take care of your kids. Be generous to them. Some other family members who are struggling, reach out to them. And then again, charity begins at home, but it does not end there. But remember the poor, says the Lord. Be smart. Be smart. Take a short-term hit. Give your money to the poor. And here comes the long-term gain. You're at the judgment seat. And the Lord's about to judge you. And you say, oh, man, I'm going to need a lot of grace and mercy here. And someone cries out from the margin, be good to him, Lord. He was good to us. Who's that? That's the poor. And the Lord said, I hear the cry of the poor. I will. I'll be generous. I'll be merciful, more merciful in judging this person. That's what the Lord's saying here. He's saying, make use of your dishonest wealth, the money that comes from a world that is filled with inequity. Make use of that money to help the poor so that when your wealth fails, and it will fail. You cannot buy your way out of death. Just can't do it. It's going to fail you. When it fails you, they, namely the poor, will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Okay. Somebody says, I'm holding on to my wallet pretty tight here, Father. I think you're going to ask me for a donation. All right. Remember the poor. That's what the Lord gives. Now, it's an example. It's a focal instance. There's many other things he could have given the example, but he says, here's an example of what I'm getting at. You take a short-term hit. Give some of your money away for a long-term gain. Are you that smart? See? And so that's the first thing the Lord says. Now, by the way, Cardinal George has a beautiful way. He died a few years ago, but he had a beautiful way of reminding us of this truth that he says, in this world, the poor need us. But in the next world, especially at the judgment seat, we're going to need the poor. Come on, y'all. Are you praying with me? We're going to need them to step up and testify. I don't know about you, but I'm going to need a lot of grace and mercy at the judgment seat. I've been given a lot. Have I been a good steward with it? I hope so. I hope so. See, but you see the idea. I'm going to need a lot of grace and mercy at the judgment seat. And frankly, most of us are. All of us are, huh? And wouldn't it be good that a few of the poor testify in our behalf? Amen? All right. So the Lord then speaks. This is two of the three things I just wanted to mention about the parable. First of all, that we should be prudent. That is to say, prudent in goodness, you know, taking a short-term hit for a long-term gain, that we should use our, quote, unrighteous money, our dishonest wealth, as he calls it. But we should use it to bless the poor. And then the other thing that jumps out is, he says, if you're faithful in a small matter, I'll put you in charge of bigger matters. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think money's a small matter? Come on now, honestly. Money, money, money. Money, 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 money. Money, right? Say, all right. Tell him not to sing anymore. No more singing up there. We think money's the biggest thing, man. It's all about money. And God said, no, that's just a small thing. Are you kidding me? You see how these parables just jump out at you and make you think, and they sort of throw everything 180 degrees off, and you're stunned. Money's not a small thing. Money's a small thing. What are big things? Big things are things like prayer, spiritual truths, getting saved, going to heaven. That's the big stuff. And you see, most of us are preoccupied on the very things we minimize the maximum, namely getting to heaven, and we maximize the minimum. We're all obsessed about money and power and wealth and who's in charge and all these things. We spend all our time, and we spend almost no time on the one thing that really does matter, whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. So you see, the Lord is trying to shake us up a little here and say, you know, this is a very, it's got a lot of astonishing kind of rumble strips built into the thing that just suddenly you wake up. What's that all about? Money is not a small matter. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't want to tell you what I have to pay to get my car repaired, but I have to keep reminding myself, it's only money. It's only money. Donations gladly accepted. No, don't you dare. It's a remarkable thing how worked up we can get in a second about money. But if our kid is watching porn or, you know, getting in trouble at school, I'll get around to that tomorrow, you know? Listen, see, the Lord's shaking us up here a little. So again, let's get back to the question we began with, and I want to bridge then to looking at parish life for a moment with you. Are you willing to take a short-term hit for a long-term gain? Are you willing to learn to discipline your life and live the virtues that God wants you to live that will require some things of you that aren't always the easiest thing? It's easy to sin. It's hard not to sin. It's easy to hold on to your money and spend it on personal pleasures. It's harder to give it away. It's easy to give way to anger and wrath. It's harder to curb it and say, I need to be careful here so that I don't say something I'll never be able to take back. It's easy, you see, to sin. It's harder to live the virtues and the graces. But again, are you and I willing to take a short-term hit for a long-term gain? Are you that smart? And you and I need to answer that question. That is what the Lord has asked us to think about as individuals. Be willing, my brothers and sisters, to take short-term hit for a long-term gain. Be willing to challenge a child to come back to church, and they're going to hit you hard. But take the short-term hit for the long-term gain, your salvation and theirs. Be willing to take the risk of speaking to the moral issues of our day and being clear and charitable but outspoken about them. And some people will raise an eyebrow, and some people will call you names. But be willing to take a short-term hit for a long-term gain, that souls be saved, including your own. My brothers and sisters, be willing to testify, to evangelize. You will get pushback. You will have tribulation. But there is a long-term gain that the retirement benefits are out of this world, as they say. Bless you. Bless you for the patience you've shown in this homily, but just the patience and the love and the beautiful, beautiful faith that you bring here Sunday after Sunday. Remember, too, that St. Cyprian died a martyr, and we'll read his account of martyrdom at the end of the liturgy today. I need to end. I needed to end 10 minutes ago. But I thank you for your patience. There's a beautiful song that George reminded me of, and it simply says, again, regarding God, before I ask for anything, I want to thank God for everything, for all he's done for me. And God's done a mighty good work for us and for this parish. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen.